Welcome to the Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
Your weekend wake-up tradition for the last 30 years.
It's Rosie on the House.
Oh, yeah. A great big Arizona Saturday good morning to you all. You're in my house. It's Rosie on the house. Happy to have you. Come on in, sit down, get comfortable. It's your Saturday morning wake-up call, your Saturday morning tradition for 30 years.
This goes worldwide, doesn't it?
This is real live. And we are in the 7 o'clock hour, Rosie on the House, where we always have some extraordinary guests or some extraordinary topic and fun. And we're all here this morning. Romy, my son and co-host in the control position. Gary D., our engineer, making sure we're all in the aiming at the right satellites. And my sweet Jennifer. Good morning, babe.
You got a
bevy full of guests here this morning.
I did. You know, it all started a couple years ago when Jim West has been in the broadcasting industry for 40 years. And he reached out to me and said, Jennifer, I wrote this book called Phoenix Sound. And it's all about the rockabilly movement back in the, starting in the 60s, I think.
50s and 60s.
50s and 60s, yeah. Here in the Valley. And so Jim came on and we talked about your book. Welcome, Jim.
Thank you, Jennifer.
I see the crew you've put together here and one thought comes to mind. Look what the cat dragged in.
Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly. I love cats.
Well, Jim,
Mama really loves cats.
Your career goes way back as well, and you've had some really great ride.
Well,
working in L.A.
Well, no, I didn't work in L.A., but I worked here
Academy
in
Academy of Country Music in L.A.
I was on, yes, ma'am, okay. Exactly. Academy of Country Music Awards. I was on the board of directors for a couple of years in the 90s. But prior to that, started out in radio when I was in the military in the Air Force part-time. Then I came back to Arizona.
You were a general, weren't
I
you?
I was a general. No, exactly. General Airman. So, so I came back to Tucson, grew up in Tucson, and worked in radio there, and then ended up here in Phoenix. And I was working for Buck Owens at KNIX Radio here back in the 80s for many years. And was just blessed to be able to be in the country music industry mainly for 40-some years all over the country. I was program director in places like that. So
Phoenix Music Award 2008. Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Ma'am.
So you reached out recently and said you were excited about one of your past people in your life that had written their own book.
Exactly.
And so we have today with us Mr. Ray Odom.
Mr. Ray Odom is a legendary figure in the city of Phoenix, Arizona, and he goes way back to the early 50s. He moved here from Texas, and we're going to get into that here in a moment with Mr. Odom, in 1951 from
51,
Texas.
51, that's correct.
And Ray has became, over the years, Mr. Country Music of Arizona. He started up several radio stations back in the 50s. He was the first person to bring Elvis Presley to Arizona.
Three times.
Was it three or four times?
Three.
Oh, okay. And started in 1956.
Frank Sinatra once.
Sinatra, I mean, everybody you can think of under the sun.
Johnny Cash, 20 times.
Exactly. So anyway, thank you very much for having us this morning.
Well, I want to introduce also in the studio, we have Miss Dolly, who has been married to Ray for 62 years. Welcome, Miss Dolly.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks for coming in. So we had a really nice chat yesterday, and the story as it unfolds is just really incredible. Ray, I just wanted to, for you to tell the folks how it all started that you came here in 1951. Phoenix was a dusty little town, no freeways, no highways, no city. What led you out here?
Well, that was an interesting story. I was in broadcasting in Texas, a little town called Coleman, Texas. I was brought up on a farm. I'm the cow milking champion of Arizona.
And, is that official?
Yes, and I was milking cows as a six-year-old in Texas, and they had a—I don't know what it's called, but it was kind of a conference call type thing that went out to radio stations all over the country, and they said there was a radio station in Phoenix, Arizona that was looking for a sports director and a program director. So
sports.
I didn't even call or anything. I just got in the car and came to Arizona.
So were you the first one to show up for the job? And
I met with Howard Loeb. He owned KRIZ at that time, and he asked me to come to dinner, and went over there, and he said, come out to the radio station in the morning, and I was hired the next morning. So that's where it all started in 1951.
And you started in play-by-play.
I got into broadcasting. I went to the Cambridge School of Radio Broadcasting in New York. I got out of the Navy in New York, Long Island, actually, and I got a limo, and I was had a brother-in-law. He had a limo, and we worked out of the Long Island Railroad Station, and there were trains that came different directions across the water and the other one across Jamaica. So we worked out of Lawrence, Long Island, and we had a phone, and we'd get calls to bring people to the station and to the trains, and when they would drop people off, we'd take them to their homes and so forth. So that's how that all got started. But I was listening to the radio all the time and the advertising in this school. So I went to the Cambridge School of Radio Broadcasting. And strangely enough, after the sessions were over, we had some great leaders, teachers, and whatever. And they took us to dinner, and they said, we think... they called me Tex. I was really from Louisiana, but I didn't want to be called Louis, so I said...
Now, wait a minute now.
They call me...
wait a minute. Well,
wrong audience.
They called me Tex. So they said, Tex, we think that in 5 years out of this entire school, there'll be two people still in the radio, and that one of the two will be you. And... Oh.
Well, they were right about that, huh?
They were correct. And they said, in 10 years, we think that there will be just one, and Tex, we think that it will be you.
Wow.
Well, I've been in it 100 years now, so I don't know what happened to all the others.
You do have a big birthday coming up this weekend.
Hey, yeah? You got memory like Evelyn.
You want to tell everybody how old you're going to be on Saturday?
I'll be, what, Mom? 102?
No.
92.
That's pretty impressive. When we talked yesterday, I learned something, and I probably should have known this, but when you do play-by-play, you were telling me how you would have to recreate the experience for people who are listening.
Well, so. I used to do it live, mm-hmm. but then I got into a lot of recreations, and I really loved that. We had all the sound effects, lightning, thunder, and rain, and we had studio people in our studio would come through. Got your hot dogs, ice cold Coca-Cola, and all that kind
of
stuff.
Back in the days before live feeds, right?
Was that the reason
for
that?
Exactly. Yeah. They recreated all of the ball games.
When
he
said that, I had no frame of reference for that.
Back in the old radio days, exactly.
So how did you know what was going on to be able to recreate
that? I'll pass the information along to you. Instead of getting Western Union or one of the majors like that, I would have some person in the cities. And he would listen to the games and take down all the information, and then he would call me and give in code. He'd give me what happened on those plays and so forth. Yeah. So that was my recreation form.
Yeah. Wow.
That's a start. That's just one aspect of Mr. Odom's career all these years.
I know. It's going to take us three segments to get through all the aspects,
exactly.
For sure.
Uh-huh.
So how did you transition from then? How are we doing? How do we transition from doing play-by-play to... your next step, which was the...
KRUX, right? After the KRIZ, you went to Crux, KRUX, and started doing the stage shows?
Well, Stan Norman owned the station, and he called me one day. I was at, Chris, and he called me and he said, Ray, how much money are you making over there? And I told him, he said, if you come with me at Crux, I'll double the money. I said, you just hired yourself a guy. So it didn't take me long to make up my mind. So Stan was a great guy, and I'd gone to Howard Loeb, who owned KRIZ, and I asked him to let me promote shows because I had done that in Abilene. I brought a lot of country acts, and we had huge crowds, for these and made money from that sideline. So Stan said, Loeb wouldn't. He said, no, I don't want to do that at KRIZ. So Stan Norman, when he said, you're coming with me, I told him a story. He said, you got a deal. We'll bring whomever you want here. So that's how we brought Elvis three times, and we brought Sinatra and all these people, but mostly country. Johnny Cash 20 times, Willie Nelson 20 times.
And where would they play when they came?
Madison Square Garden and Riverside Park Ballroom.
And where are those places?
Well, Madison Square Garden was the wrestling and boxing arena, and I announced wrestling and boxing from there also. And in Riverside Ballroom, Bob Fight owned the place, and I had to do my shows from there on Thursday nights because he had a big country band and the trumpets and saxes and everything, including all the country instruments. And it was unbelievable, the crowds that we, I was going to say, I had to do my shows on Thursday night at Riverside because his dances would draw 1,000 people. And he had to have Saturday and Sunday nights for himself.
Yeah.
And that's the 1950s?
50s, yeah. Those places don't exist anymore. Riverside Ballroom is on South Central at the Salt River, and Madison Square Garden was downtown next to where the police station is now.
And at the time, the population in the 50s was like 100,000 people.
Exactly.
So 1,000 people was a huge crowd.
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah.
What would you pay for a ticket? Do you remember? What would you pay for a ticket to see Johnny Cash in the 50s?
Well, you brought Elvis in for $1.50 a ticket.
That's right.
In 1956.
Yeah. And I think that I saw he charged $10,000, I think, dollars.
Yeah, yeah, $10,000 for the first time Ray brought Elvis to town. Yes, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cute story about, if you'd like, this is a sideline, but there's a big story in a corner store newspaper, not the Arizona Republic, but... story about Elvis got three girls pregnant.
And,
he, cute story.
Yeah. And they said the girls were writing in this story also, and they said you could not believe he bought each one of them a new caddy. Three girls. And then they said the first day of every month, they got a check, the size of which you couldn't believe. He wanted to take care of the girls and the babies.
Tell us the story about Elvis first calling you in 1954, if you have time. You want to wait?
We're going to take a little break and come back and hear some more.
Bringing Elvis to Phoenix for the first time in
56.
All right. When we get back with Ray Odom and Jim West at Rosie on the House.